Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Father, we thank you for this revelation that you've given me to share by the Spirit of God. Thank you for giving us ears to hear you, hear what you're saying. Thank you for giving us a mind to process what you're saying and a heart to receive what you're saying. Now open our eyes to see even further so that we can boldly go where you want us to go this year and every year after. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Go ahead, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, of course, in the three-night meeting, we were talking about, from this subject, no more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. No more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. Now, in the three-night meeting, we didn't even get to the multiplication part. Because you have to get to this place where you are delivered from toiling and you're delivered from tolerating. So we said that, just to remind you of this, that if you're operating in this place of no more toil and toleration, then that's a kingdom mindset. So I said to you that no more toil is a kingdom mindset. Watch this. Coupled with a kingdom determination, a kingdom demonstration, and a kingdom domination. One of the things that it will bring to the forefront is that you have been given authority. You are an authority figure. So we must stop making excuses for the circumstances and the situations that we're having to deal with and just become determined to overcome them. Say amen, somebody. So let's go ahead and read our passage of scripture from Luke 5. Because, and as you read this, I want you to think about this thought that no more toil is all about learning how to take the struggle out of life. Because Jesus came and he took the toil out of our lives. Amen. So let's read it. Luke 5, let's start at verse number 3. And he, Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. We'll stop there. Wow. One of the things that we can capture from this passage of scripture is Jesus's willingness to bless Peter by putting him in position to receive something that was beyond his expectation. Peter didn't expect this haul of fish. Peter didn't expect to receive something from God during a time, the daytime, which is unusual and unprecedented to catch fish. He didn't expect that, but Jesus was willing and wanting to do something for him because Peter, I pointed this out, had allowed Jesus to use his boat to teach and preach from. Jesus sowed into Jesus' ministry by making his boat available. And Jesus, operating with a kingdom mindset now, is understanding the principle of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, and he's not wanting Peter to go home distraught, weary, and worn, all because of, as Peter said, toiling all night and catching nothing. Let's look at our two definitions again. Toiling indicates, of course, you know, working long hours. Toiling is activity or labor that is filled with weariness. I said to you in the three-night meeting that toiling has to do with sweat, struggle, stress, and strain. Fatigue and weariness, trying to make things happen and getting little to no results from your effort. Toiling is working extremely hard and long and not getting out of what you're doing. You're not getting out of it what you're putting into it, which leads you to frustration, which leads you to a broken down body, worn out emotionally and mentally. And so now you can't even enjoy life. That's toiling. Now, one of the things that, before I get to toleration, one of the things that we have to be delivered from is, notice this, Peter said in verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. I was asking the Lord, okay, how do you want this to be presented tonight? What is it that you want the people to catch? And I saw this where we have to be delivered from this conditioning of where we accept, I caught nothing. You losing out in life is not the will of God for you. And see, so for like Peter, many Christians see themselves in his place because they say, well, I've been working hard and I'm getting little to nothing for it. That I'm not even getting the equal return on what I'm putting out. And what that simply means, my brothers and sisters, is that you have to be delivered from a toiling mindset and not allow what you've experienced, not allow what other people have said, not allow the good, the bad, or the ugly to define your expectation from God. One of the main reasons for toiling, let me show you this real quick, is because we've been conditioned, watch this, by the world and the curse. Toiling came as a result of the curse. Go with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Now, keep a marker at Luke 5. Let's go. Let's look at this. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read it from the, for time's sake, I'm going to read it from the NIV. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Watch this. The Bible says, and this is when, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, was trying to hide from God. Now, God is reading their mail and passing out judgment. And verse Genesis 3:17 from the NIV says this, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Now, why was the ground cursed? Because up until this time, Adam knew God the Father as his provider and his provision. God placed him in a garden with all his needs met. But now he turns and goes after the fruit on his own without God's will, God's approval, God's acceptance. So now he's stating, I want to do this on my own, so to speak. And God says, now the ground is cursed because you did it without me. Cursed is the ground because of you, the NIV says. And then it says this, through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. Jesus, through painful toil. Well, what happens is now, you and I, if we're not careful, we'll also start acting like we got to take care of ourselves. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? That type of mindset. And we start thinking that we have to take ownership of our lives. And then by doing so, you lose sight of the kingdom that you're supposed to be in, the kingdom that you're supposed to live from and live by, the kingdom that you're supposed to operate from, the kingdom that has not only potential for you, but it has provision for you. It has prosperity for you. It has power for you. It has everything you need. That's why it tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, come on, Bible readers, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Make the kingdom my provision. Make the kingdom, make God my provider. I trust him. And it's hard. It's hard to get Christians to see this. And that's why it calls for you to have a revelation. Until you have a revelation of this, you won't see it. And that's why when Jesus spoke to Peter and said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a haul, Peter began to shut that down. He couldn't catch that expectation from Jesus' words, because in his mind, you don't catch fish that easy like that. And you sure enough don't go in the daytime when the fish can see the net and see the boat, and they're going to stay away from you. So he couldn't see making Jesus his provision, his provider, and receiving from Jesus. He couldn't see that because he saw everything through a mind of toiling. And that's because of the curse. You know this, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. And so you have to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to renew your mind from toiling. Make a note of the scripture. You know it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Well, we're in the world. What's in the world? Well, toiling is in the world. And be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to toiling. And be not conformed to this world. But be ye, come on, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Toiling. Now, let me say this. There is a big difference between toiling and working. There's a big difference. And if you're not careful, you'll confuse the two. Because God gave Adam work before Adam became cursed with toiling. You with me? So if you're not in tune with the Spirit of God enough, you'll confuse the two and you'll make them all one. And then so now your expectation will be, oh, I got to do this. Because if I don't do this, if I don't work like this, if I don't work this hard, if I don't put these type of hours in, if I don't this schedule, if I don't do this, we're not going to make it. Well, who said that? I thought you said God was your source. And he is. All right, look at this. Look at this. Go with me. Let's look at some scriptures. Come on. And we're going to go back to Luke 5. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Come on, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Praise the name of Jesus. Everyone say this, Lord, deliver me from toiling. Ecclesiastes, right after the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and look at verse 9. Now, the King James Bible says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Okay, that's from the King James. Watch the NIV. The NIV says, what do workers gain from their toil? Toiling is a result of the curse. Don't combine work with toiling. No. No. God gave Adam work, meaning a responsibility, something to do that makes a demand on his potential. It makes a demand on his gifting. Toiling is struggling in my working. Toiling is stressing and straining and coming to a place of fatigue and weariness in my working. No, my working is a result of my gifting or my potential. And it's making a demand on that so I can find out more and more, watch this, about my problem-solving ability. Jesus, that's what work is for. That's why you get paid, because you solve a problem. But it's not supposed to become toil. All right, all right. So what do workers gain from their toil? Look at you're in Ecclesiastes. We're going to stay in the book of Ecclesiastes. Flip back to chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. I'm just going to read these verses from the NIV. That'll make it easier for time's sake. Watch this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? So it's not for me to tell you how to work. What I am to do is to encourage you to renew your mind from toiling and seek the Spirit of God and in how to do your work sweatlessly rather than through toiling. Stay with me. You still in Ecclesiastes? Look at chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 22. From the NIV again. What do people get for all the toil and, watch what it adds, anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? So now it adds anxiety and stress and striving to toiling. That's not what God did initially in the Garden of Eden with Adam. No. God worked with Adam and there was a productivity. Something was produced. He wanted Adam to name the animals. God brought the animals. Adam didn't have to toil and go get the animals. Toil about, now I don't know where that donkey is. Toil about finding them. Toil about getting them to cooperate with him. No, there was no toiling. This working was a partnership with him and God. Because all Adam did was make himself available. And watch this. God brought the animals and God gave Adam the name. And all Adam had to do was speak it out and release it in the earth, which established it as a truth or a purpose, speaking that animal's purpose. He didn't toil. And for right now, for some of us, some of you, if not all of you, listening to me tonight, you've done it for so long and you don't know how to separate the two, working from toiling. No, because in yourself, you can't separate it. From the natural mind, the carnal mind, you can't separate it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's why Peter could not see what Jesus was saying. And even though he said, "Now, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." No, Peter, he said, nets. Nets, Peter, why you can't see that? Just cooperate. Because his toiling mindset affected how he responded to Jesus. And your toiling mindset will affect how you respond to the Spirit of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 2 and 22 again. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? And then flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4 from the NIV. Watch this. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. You know why people are toiling? Because they feel like they're going to lose out. Man, if I don't do this, my family going to suffer. Who said that? Why are you prophesying suffering over your family? That's what Peter did. Jesus says, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a haul, a draught, and the King James Bible says. And then Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night long. Now he's prophesying over everybody else. He didn't ask you about everybody else. Don't be speaking that toiling business on me. The weight of toiling, the heaviness of toiling. He's speaking it on everybody. And then he says, and we've caught nothing. And Peter was, he was settled on accepting that. Now here's what you got to get. God want to bring you to a place, bring us to a place, to where we're cooperating with him and we're experiencing productivity and results sweatlessly because of our kingdom connection. Look at Joshua 24. Come on, go to the book of Joshua now. Quickly, 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 Joshua 24. I'm going to try to get the toleration because we got to be delivered from this, but we got to allow the Spirit of God to renew our mind. And right now, I even sense it. And we're not even in a physical room together. We're connected virtually, but I even sense it here virtually that this is hard for some people to disconnect from because they can't see the difference. Look at Joshua 24, verse 13. This is from the NIV. Look what God says. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. What? He's talking about results that they did not have to toil to get. He's talking about a lifestyle, another level that he brought them to without their self-effort. Meaning, I got to do it myself because, you know, if I can't do it, it won't get done. If I don't do it, we're going to go under. Or if I don't do it, you got to be delivered from the proudful or pride way of approaching life and doing life. Make a note of this scripture. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs chapter 10, 22. You know this verse, but from the NIV, it says it this way. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Yeah, you heard it right. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Well, man, if we're looking at these verses, then why isn't it happening in more and more Christians' lives? Because of lack of cooperation and lack of revelation. See, God didn't lie. Hosea 4:6, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So now you have these Christians doing, they're toiling and their minds are suffering. So they're under mental strain and mental anguish. And what is happening in the land today? There's more depressed people and mentally weak people than ever before. With all of this knowledge, with all of this technology, which is supposed to make things easier. And then you have people, bodies wearing out on them. Because they have been going to work, toiling, being conditioned by the curse. We don't have to go that route. We don't have to go that route. Here's another verse. Make note of it. Psalms 127 and 2. I'm not going to have you turn there for time's sake. But Psalms 127 verse 2 from the NIV. It says, in vain you rise early and stay up late. What? In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. Because he, God, grants sleep to those he loves. Jesus, what kind of stuff is this? Wow. Now, go back to Luke 5. Go back to Luke 5. So, we have to be delivered from this. Now, somebody say, I was thinking about this today and this thought came up. And I remember hearing it, you know, for years in the church. They would make this statement. Well, Pastor Mark, you do know that God only helps those who help themselves. Then where is that scripture at? Now, I told you Luke 5, right? Let's take a look at Romans 5. Come on, go to Romans 5. Well, Pastor Mark, I got to go do this because God only helps those who help themselves. Watch this. Romans 5. Watch this, y'all. Come on, say, Lord, by your spirit, renew my mind to stop toiling and learn to receive from the Holy Ghost. See, Zechariah 4:6 says it's not by might. It's not by your ability or mine. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, don't nobody ever say, Pastor Mark said, we ain't got to go to work. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said, don't toil. No more toil. No more toiling. No more. And there's a big difference between working like God says to work, like he did with Adam in the beginning, and toiling like work has evolved to because of being conditioned by the curse. And we're trying to do it ourselves. Toiling takes place because you're going to work and not taking into consideration the God factor. Let me say that again. Toiling takes place because you're going to work on your job assignment. You're going to work without taking into consideration the God factor. You're not factoring in God. When you go to work, all you factor in is me. What I got to do, me. And so you put it all on you. You make it about you and what you can do. You're not taking into consideration the God factor. And so when something don't work out right, you take it personal. When something don't go right, you take the burden on yourself. You're not casting that care on the Lord. And then watch this. And then some people, they connect their identity to the success or the achievements on the job. They want to be applauded by people. They want to be accepted by people. They want to be approved by people. Wait a minute. No. I'm already accepted by God. I'm already approved by God. I'm already acknowledged by God. I already have God's assistance. So what I do on the job, I'm not doing to be seen. I'm not doing to be accepted. I'm not doing to be approved. I'm not doing to be acknowledged. What you all see on my job, you all are getting the overflow of my relationship with Almighty God. Can you see the difference? You got to be delivered from a toiling mindset so that we can get to now the benefit of the multiplication. Because if God multiplied what you have right now, all that would happen is the toiling mindset will corrupt it. That's why God said this. Now, I know I got you at Romans 5. You stay there. Don't you go nowhere. Stay right there. I'm going to read something from Deuteronomy 8. You can make a reference in your notes. Deuteronomy 8. The Bible says this. See, this is what happened. You know, when you start thinking, it's me doing this. It's me. When I go to work, it's me. When I do, it's me. And I want to be acknowledged. I want to be noticed. I want to be accepted. I want to be approved. God said this in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's what'll happen. You'll forget. And then dropping down to verse 17 of Deuteronomy 8, and it says, and then you say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. My power, I did this. My skill, I did this. You forget. So you can't go to work, to your job assignment, and not take into consideration the God factor. Always acknowledge God. Always notice, man, God. And you can tell, we all can tell. You can tell when you're doing something to be noticed and being seen. See, if we were in a physical building, I'd tell you to look at your neighbor and say, you know he's talking about you. You can tell. Yeah, you can tell. You can tell when you're doing that. You can tell when you want to be complimented, you want to be stroked, you want to be like that. And there's nothing wrong with affirmation. All I'm saying is that we got to be delivered from this toiling mindset and getting me. And a lot of that toiling comes from pride. Thinking, I got to do this myself. I got to do this. Okay, Romans 5. Now, you're there at Romans 5. So somebody will say this. Well, Pastor Mark, you know they said God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible, my brothers and sisters. It's not in the Bible. Look at this. I'm at verse 6, Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wait a minute. If you was without strength, you couldn't help yourself. You couldn't help yourself. Jesus did it for you, and you couldn't help yourself. For when we were yet without strength. So watch this. If Peter would have had a kingdom mindset, and I realize he didn't have the Spirit of God, he couldn't be born again because Jesus hadn't died. I understand he did not have a Bible, but he was part of the seed of Abraham. And he knew the promises that God gave the seed of Abraham. And still he didn't take that into consideration because, watch this, even when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ, translate meditate, Christ is not Jesus' last name, the anointed one died for the ungodly. Why? Why? Yes, it's talking about our salvation, but it is also talking about our victory in everyday life. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. Stop. And that's what you got to understand. You got to get rid of this losing mentality that you're going to lose out, that you're going to go under. Why? Because God has commended his love toward us. So even if you're at a place where you don't feel strong enough to make ends meet for your family, strong enough financially, strong enough economically, strong enough skill-wise or talent-wise, you got to understand that this thing doesn't stop because of you. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was separated from God, God still moved for me. I got a move of God even when I wasn't in faith for a move of God because of his love toward me. And so you have to understand this toiling mindset denies the love God has for you because you feel like I got to do it myself. God ain't going to come through for me. I got to do it myself. We got to do this. We got to do this. No, change all of that by saying, Lord, every time you think about it, Lord, deliver me from a toiling mindset. Lord, help me to approach life differently. I'm not by myself. You're with me. What do we say? God loves me. God is for me. God is with me. God is on my side. God will never leave me nor forsake me. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And that's the other part of toiling. People toil because they are afraid. They are afraid. Afraid of losing a position, afraid of losing an income, afraid of losing face. Look at verse 9. What's those first two words from the King James that says, much more? Oh, I love it. Much more in 2024. I love it. Look at this. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Or what's another phrase for justified? Made right. Or made righteous. Now, but much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Or we can even say we will be saved from the curse and the conditions of the curse through him. Peter didn't ask Jesus to do that. He didn't pray. And Jesus still did it. He did something beyond his expectation. I'm going to have to let you go. I spent a lot of time on this. He did something beyond Peter's expectation to show him that this is only the beginning of what I want to do with you, what I want to do through you, and what I want to do for you. And I say to you, my brothers and my sisters, in the name of Jesus, make up in your mind at the beginning of this new year that you're going to be delivered from toiling. Toiling. And toiling is there because of a lack of revelation. Toiling is there because lack of knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are taken captive because of lack of knowledge. Toiling is also there because of religious tradition, the tradition of men. You know, mom and dad, my dad taught me, pull my own boots up by the straps and get after it. Okay. But now we're not going to counsel out the God factor. I'm working with God. I'm partnering with God. Now, you judge this. How often do you go to your job assignment and you don't even have God on your mind? You're not taking into consideration. It's about you. And that's not how Adam operated before the curse. And the second Adam, Jesus, brought us back to that type of partnership. So you see it in Jesus' life. He says, I only do those things I see my Father do. He honored his Father. And he said, even when it came to miracles, he said, I'm not the one doing the miracles. It's the Father in me that does the miracles. They're working together. Sweatless victory. That's what I want for us. Can y'all see this tonight? Let's go ahead. We're gonna have to wrap this up. We're going to have to wrap this up right here. No more toil. It's all about learning how to take the struggle out of life. Because Jesus came to give me a kingdom mindset. Glory to God. And you got to understand that your days of toiling and struggling are now over in the name of Jesus. Don't give in to the temptation of doing things the same way like you've always done them. No, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I'll end with this verse. Go to John chapter 6 and we'll be done. John chapter 6. I'm going to read it from, for lack of time, from the Amplified Classic. John chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 27. I remember when I accepted my call to the ministry and I started evangelizing. And in the front of my Bible, God had me write these words. He said, Mark, remember, have fun. If you're not having fun in ministry, you're not doing it right. He had me write that. And every new Bible I got in the early years, he said, put it back in there. What was he doing? He was renewing my mind. And there was a lot of times in ministry I didn't have fun. And, you know, sometimes I listen to some pastors and some ministers talk, and I say, oh, my goodness. Wow. But God, he did that to me. He said, "You put it in your Bible in the front." And I wrote it, Mark, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. He was letting me know. What was he doing? He was delivering me from a toiling mindset without even using the word toil. I couldn't have verbalized all of this that I'm sharing with you way back then, because I didn't have that type of revelation. I couldn't see to that degree. See, revelation will cause you to see some things you couldn't see before. Jesus could not see Peter going home empty because he had a revelation of multiplication. And the revelation position him to give Peter a divine instruction that will give Peter a demonstration beyond what he was expecting. Okay, John 6. Let me hurry up so I can let you go. Verse 27. This is from the Amplified Classic. Look at this. And if you pull up on your smart device, you can read it with me. Look what it says. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes. You done lost half the church right there. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using. But strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures continually unto life eternal. Did you see the contrast there? That when it talked about work and producing, that it did not mention toiling in that. And then it says, the Son of Man will give, furnish you that, for God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. Verse 28, they then said, what are we to do that we may habitually be working the works of God? What are we to do to carry out what God requires? Jesus replied, this is the work service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. Now, that's a mouthful. Now, you got to be honest with yourself. Do you really cleave to Jesus, or do you cleave to what you think you know? Do you cleave to your experiences? See, these are questions I had to ask myself and still am asking myself. Mark, do you really trust Jesus, or do you trust yourself that you got to be in control of things? You got to have your hands on things. Do you really rely on Jesus, or do you rely on your acumen, your intelligence, your education? Verse 30, therefore they said to him, what sign, miracle, wonder work will you perform then so that we may see it and believe and rely on and adhere to you? What supernatural work have you to show what you can do? Stop right there. Now that's the thing where some Christians, I ain't gonna say many, some Christians are stuck at. Lord, give me a miracle, then I will believe. No. Believing doesn't come from seeing miracles. Believing doesn't come from seeing miracles. And this is what I'm teaching you, is what we have to renew our mind to so that we can operate in the grace and anointing of multiplication, because we will be, we'll have a solid foundation for the miraculous. We'll have a proper foundation for where God wants to take us and what he wants to do this year. They said, what sign, what miracle, what wonder work will you perform then so that we may see it and believe you? No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at verse 31. They said, our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as the scripture says, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. They try to use that against Jesus. And if you remember why they called it manna back in the Old Testament, do you remember why they called it manna? Because when God manifested it and they saw it on the ground, they said, what is this? And that's where the name manna came from. What is this? They wasn't cheerful about it. What is this? That's what manna means. What is this? And then verse 32. Jesus then said to them, and this is what I want to leave you with. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. So see, it didn't come by self-effort. It didn't come from toiling. What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true heavenly bread. Now he's switching everything. Watch this. For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always, all the time. And then Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me will never thirst anymore at any time. He could have easily said, Peter, you believe in me, you'll never be hungry. You'll never have to go home empty. You'll never have to settle for we've toiled all night long and have caught nothing. My brothers and sisters, there's some of you listening to me today. And all the teaching that you've heard, and you've done your best to walk by faith and not by sight. And then it seemed like that there was a missing ingredient. It seemed like that something, a connection wasn't being made. You have to renew your mind from a toiling mindset. And understand, it is not me that doeth the work. Like Jesus said, it's the Father in me that doeth. As long as you hold on to your independence to make your life work, you'll always be disconnected from the victory God has for you. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Do I have all the answers for this? No, man. I'm reaching myself. I'm reaching, man. I'm reaching. I'm believing God. I'm saying, take me. I'm trusting you. Do I have all the questions answered? No, I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. Like Peter was brought to that place of trust. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. There was no explanation. There was no conversation. It was simply a directive. And now it was on Peter. Now watch this. Did you know that if Peter would not have said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net, he would have experienced nothing, and Jesus couldn't have done nothing about that? Even though Peter didn't fully cooperate, according to the King James Bible, other translations say different. I want you to know, that's my time, I want you to know that Peter could have shut down what Jesus wanted to do. And that's where I want to leave you. If you don't renew your mind, you'll shut down what Jesus wants to do for you. And no matter how much you say you love him, no matter how much you say you believe him, it comes to that place of, am I going to live by self-reliance or am I going to live by relying on him? Am I going to still live by self-dependence or am I going to depend on him? Am I going to continue doing things the way where I need to be in control or am I going to trust his control? And this is where you learn to yield. And as they used to say in the old school, let go and let God. Father, we give you praise tonight. I pray over your people tonight, Father, that the work that you're doing in us, you are bringing to completion. Thank you for the maturing that's taking place, the developing that's taking place, the furnishing on the inside that's taking place. I see you packing us and developing us and building us up, and spiritual building blocks are placed on the inside of us. And you're building a dwelling place so that we can walk in more of your presence, more of your glory, more of your anointing. Father, we thank you. He who has begun a good work in you shall bring it to completion. We're standing on that, Father. Now, those who are struggling with a toiling mindset, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that if you deliver them, deliver them from this toiling mindset. Those who have been struggling with stubbornness. And the funny thing about it, Lord, a stubborn person never admits that they are stubborn because they don't see it as stubbornness. Other people do. Father, I'm asking you to open their eyes to see themselves. Pull the scales off of their eyes. Show them how they're operating. Not to make them feel bad, but so that they can make the decision and the choice to flow with you, cooperate with you, and move with you like never before. And then those who are dealing with the spirit of pride, I bind the clutches and the hold of the spirit of pride off of the lives, the hearts, and the minds of the people of God in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, humble them. Humble them in the name of Jesus.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.